Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and New York City subway system now has the worst on-time performance of any major rapid transit system in the world, according to data collected from the 20 biggest. That was in the New York Times article this weekend. That's an investigation examining why that is. It's called How Politics and Bad Decisions Starve New York Subways. And with us now is one of the three reporters of that investigation, Brian Rosenthal. Brian, welcome back to WNYC. And congratulations on the excellent piece. And I want to give a shout out to your two co-reporters, Emma Fitzsimmons and Michael LaForgia, who aren't with us this morning. Everybody talks about how bad the subways seem these days, but I think you have it in metrics. How bad is it?
Yeah, well, it's pretty bad. I think the numbers that we found were very surprising to a lot of people who read the story. The on-time performance of the New York City subway system is now at 65%. And just to give you and give your listeners a definition, that actually doesn't mean that 65% of trains are on time, because the industry metric is that a train can be on time even if it's 5 minutes late. You have to be 6 minutes late in order for it to count as late. So it's a pretty relaxed standard, frankly, and every other transit system in the world that we talked to, with the exception of Mexico City, was above 80%. And Mexico City was still above us. They just weren't, you know, crushing us like everybody else in the world is. And it's really stunning that New York's performance is so low compared to every other system.
And do you have change over time with that? If it's a 65% on-time percentage now, what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, anything like that?
We do. And we were able to get the numbers going back to 1980. With the exception of 2 years, 83 and 84, we weren't able to get the data on. But of that data, it is now today the worst that it has been on record. And particularly in the last 10 to 15 years, it has really been a stunning decline. 15 years ago, it was at 93%. And in 14 of the last 15 years, it has gone down.
Which is why it's so shocking for a lot of people who had taken good subway service for granted. You know, for a lot of us born and bred New Yorkers, pretty good subway service is what we came to expect starting sometime in the 80s. And then it was pretty good. But some of your stats, daily ridership has nearly doubled in the past two decades to 5.7 million riders, but New York is the only major city in the world with fewer miles of track than it had during World War II. Why is that?
Well, there are a few reasons for that. One of the reasons is, and we talked about this in the story, is that there has been a real reluctance or inability to plan out far ahead. And those types of projects to build new lines, those are projects that are hard to pull off, but they have benefits down the line. And the city and the state leaders have just been, by and large, unable to do that. They have done a few projects in more recent years, but the problem with that is that each of the projects that they've done has been extremely expensive. And as we mentioned in the story, the cost per track mile of these construction projects now is five times the international average. And so because it is so expensive, they're not able to do very many of them. It also ends up taking an extremely long amount of time.
Is it because labor costs are unusually high here, or what's the combination of reasons?
Well, for the construction costs specifically, we found that, yes, labor costs are very expensive. and are very expensive on the operations side as well. The day-to-day operations of the system. But we also found, some problems with contracting. A theme, I guess, that we found both in construction costs and operating is that there are people with political connections who have been able to get good deals for labor unions and for contractors that have driven up the costs.
Listeners, did you read this Times article over the weekend? What did you think? Do you have any questions for Brian Rosenthal, one of the correspondents who wrote this, with Emma Fitzsimmons and Michael LaForgia? Investigative piece for the Times, fantastic, titled How Politics and Bad Decisions Starved New York Subways. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So that's on the construction of new track impediment side. On the maintenance of existing track, a startling fact that you found was that the MTA's budget for subway maintenance has barely changed when adjusted for inflation in over 25 years. Would you have expected it to go up? Because if we are adjusting for inflation, then presumably, what you're spending on maintenance of the same track today, you should be able to spend adjusted for inflation tomorrow. Or is that the wrong assumption?
I think that is the wrong assumption in this case. And we certainly heard from the dozens of current and former MTA officials and transit experts that the problem with not increasing your maintenance spending at all over 25 years is that, first of all, the system is 25 years older. And I think you probably recognize if you own a car, if it gets 25 years older, you're going to have to spend a lot more to maintain it in order to keep it in.
Good analogy.
Thank you. And then the other thing is that ridership has nearly doubled over that 25 years. And maybe you can't stretch the analogy this far, but if you have twice as many people in the car, it's going to put more stress on the car. Certainly the increase in ridership has increased the stress on the system. The experts and officials we've talked to say that the system really needs more care, and it just hasn't gotten it.
So, listeners, if you didn't read this Times article, here's sort of the deep dive nut on this of how we got here. The report says the reason for the failure of the subway system these days is because of a series of decisions by both Republican and Democratic politicians, governors from George Pataki to Andrew Cuomo, and mayors from Rudy Giuliani to Bill de Blasio. Each of them cut the subway's budget or co-opted it for their own other priorities. Together, they, quote, stripped a combined $1.5 billion from the MTA. Wow. So, Brian, let's go back in time. Major budget cuts for the MTA started, you say, with Giuliani back in 94, after a golden era for the subway system. Why was the subway system being cut under Rudy Giuliani? And why do you blame any mayor if it's run by the state, the MTA, as Mayor de Blasio reminds us over and over again?
Sure. Well, let's first of all actually go back a little further. Let's go back to the 1970s and early 1980s when the subway was really in terrible shape, worse than it is today. You had derailments, every other week. You had common breakdowns and all kinds of problems. And the city and the state made a decision at that time to make a major investment in the subway. And as a result, it really improved. And by the late 80s and early 90s, it was in very good shape and running very well. And what we found essentially is that once the subway system started to perform really well, politicians started to take it for granted and kind of took their eye off the ball in terms of funding. And so they thought that the increased investment was not really needed. As far as blaming the city or bringing the city in budget cuts, I think there's a a slight misconception here that has kind of set in even the informed community in New York, thinking that the subway is entirely the responsibility of New York State. It is the state does have the power, essentially, to make the day-to-day decisions about the subway, but that doesn't mean that the city does not have any ownership of it. In fact, technically, on the ownership question, the city does own the subway. And historically speaking, going back to the early 90s and 80s and even before that, the city has funded about 10% of the MTA's budget, with most of that money going to the subway. And, you know, that's not a huge percentage, but it is not nothing either. And what we found is that that percentage has really gone down. And if you look at the budget today, only about 2% of the MTA's budget is funded by the city. So they've really pulled back their support of the system, and that, among a bunch of other things, has resulted in money not being available.
Hmm. Before we take a break and take some calls for you, so many people have read this article and want to weigh in or ask you a question. Do you go back even more? I wonder if this is cyclical, because the real estate website Curbed recently quoted from Robert Caro's book, The Power Broker, that says when Robert Moses came to power in New York in 1934, the city's mass transportation system was probably the best in the world. When he left power in 1968, it was quite possibly the worst. Did you look back that far?
We really focused our investigation on just the past 25 years, from this period of when the system was in really good shape to now when it's not. But we did hear, certainly from the people we talked to, that there is something cyclical here, and it makes sense. I mean, when something – this is kind of – I think can be applied to beyond just infrastructure, but in politics today, when something is a crisis, it gets addressed, and when it's not a crisis, it doesn't get addressed, and often that leads to it becoming a crisis again.
At least Robert Moses, with the sweep of history in 1934 through those next couple of decades, might have thought genuinely that the future of transportation was in cars and railroads were the past. Nobody from the 1970s, 80s, or 90s, or now has that excuse. We will continue with Brian Rosenthal, New York Times, Metro investigative reporter, with the Times deep dive on why the subways are in bad shape, and we'll get to what to do about it. And your calls, don't call in, our lines are full. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Brian Rosenthal from the New York Times, one of the writers of the big article on the subways this weekend called How Politics and Bad Decisions Starve New York Subways. And Saeed in Jamaica, you're on WNYC. Hi, Saeed.
Hello, Mr. Larry. I listen to your show all the time. It's a great show, and thank you for your time, Mr. Rosenthal.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes. So my question was, we're spending billions of dollars on our MTA budget, and there was, I think, several billion dollars spent on the Second Avenue line, whereas it could have probably been spent on something like, say, the infrastructure, improving the subway signals. I mean, would it have been more beneficial to offer more six-train service more often? Would that have offset maybe the ridership that we gained from the Second Avenue line?
Saeed, thank you very much. Is that a tension that you discovered in your article? Because on the one hand, you're saying all of the above, that we haven't built new track to keep up with the growing demand. Also, we haven't invested enough in maintenance to keep up with the need. Some people see those two things as in tension with each other, like Saeed, who's, maybe all that money spent on the Second Avenue subway would have been better placed in maintaining things better, including the number six line to take that east side traffic.
Yeah, I think there is some tension there, and it certainly gets talked about. But if you notice in our story, we have a whole section about kind of wasteful spending projects or projects that don't do a whole lot to improve the experience of New York subway riders. And if you notice in that section, Second Avenue Subway is not included.
Yeah.
And the reason why is that we did hear over and over again that the New York City subway system does need more lines of track. They, as ridership increases, they need more. The subway needs to go to more places and needs to be able to serve more people. So I don't think it's necessarily, and we certainly heard from people that it's not necessarily a bad thing to spend a lot of money if it's going to increase right. the capacity of the system.
Right.
The problem is, and what we point out is, the billions and billions that have been spent on aesthetic makeovers and things to make things look prettier that really don't improve the experience of riders.
You wrote, perhaps nothing has hamstrung the MTA more than a maneuver that Governor Pataki introduced in the year 2000. That year, the Wall Street firm Bear Stearns approached the governor with a proposal to alleviate an MTA budget crunch. If the authority refinanced $12 billion of its debt, the bank said it could get a huge influx of cash without having to pay for years. Why was that so bad?
Yeah, well, so that was at a time when the MTA was in a budget crisis caused by economic conditions and also caused by years of budget cuts by Governor Pataki and Mayor Giuliani. And so the MTA needed money to operate and to do the capital work that it needed to do. And so the bankers and the governor came up with a plan that would bring in some short-term money, billions of dollars of it. But that enabled them to get the money and not have to raise taxes or do something more painful. But the problem with that deal was that it, while bringing in short-term money, obligated the MTA to pay an extreme increase in its interest payments on that debt. And so that is something that the MTA is still paying for today, 14 years later. And so it has really been a cost that has prevented the authority from doing some of the maintenance that it needs to be doing.
Gee, we didn't get out of that debt when poor Bear Stearns became one of the early casualties of the financial crisis?
No,
I guess not. Jackson in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. Very short question. As far as a solution to fixing the problems that the MTA is facing, do you think subway workers should be taking a
Whoops, he dropped out right he was getting right
I
as
think he was talking about a pay cut.
That is what he was going to say. Should MTA workers take a pay cut?
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked in the story about the labor costs of the MTA, and we found that the pay that subway workers get is disproportionate to what subway workers get in other cities. And the other thing that is certainly disproportionate is the work rules. And we point out one work rule that requires two employees on every train, which is something that I guess New Yorkers take for granted. So it's easy to lose track of the fact that every other subway system in the world basically only has one employee on a train. And the reality is one person, if they did both of the functions that the two people are doing, as it is everywhere else in the world, the MTA could save $200 million every year. And that is a serious amount of money. The MTA's overall budget for subway maintenance is about $2 billion a year. So $200 million, that's 10% of the cost right there. It is a serious amount of money that could be saved if they were to make changes in these work rules or in compensation.
We just have 2 minutes left. We're obviously not going to be able to cover everything in this New York Times deep dive investigative report this weekend, how politics and bad decisions starve New York subways. Just one more real quick. Since Everybody seems to believe that the antiquated signal system needs to be redone to really fix the on time and the speed and delays problem. This year, the MTA has cut signal funding by $500 million to support various projects favored by Governor Cuomo. Do I have that right?
You do, yes.
Like what?
Well, what happened was a couple years ago, the MTA came out with its five-year capital plan for all of the construction and system improvement that it wanted to do. And they had in that capital plan $2.5 billion for signal improvements. And the governor came back and said that he felt the capital plan was bloated. And so he asked that it be trimmed down. And as a result, $2.5 billion were cut out. And that included $500 million for signals. Then a few months after that, the governor came back and pressed of the MTA to insert some additional projects, including an enhanced station initiative to bring lighting and countdown clocks and things like that to stations, and some expansion projects, Long Island Railroad projects. And those are his priorities, and he was able to get the money to go there and not go to the signals.
And then as far as digging out, the authority has unveiled this $800 million rescue plan that's intended to stabilize the system short term. We just have 10 seconds, but did you come up with a number to really write it long term?
We didn't come up with an exact number, but it is certainly bigger than that.
So this conversation has really just begun about what the subways need. And we thank Brian Rosenthal and his colleagues for the deep article in the New York Times this weekend. Brian, thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you.